Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. These are perhaps some of the most well-known stories from the Old Testament, perhaps least understood of the stories of the Old Testament. We have come to that point in the history where we started with Moses and his miraculous saving and birth, his call from God in the burning bush, and now we come to what God promises he is going to do. Even when he calls Moses, he promises Moses and then makes sure that the Egyptians understand that he is going to execute his wrath against Egypt. And he's going to do it in a series of 10 plagues that will start out, well, kind of small. Perhaps some might even think of them as forgettable, but the farther they go, the farther Pharaoh's hardness of heart goes, the more extreme the plagues become. They culminate with the plague that actually brings about the deliverance of God's people, just as he had promised. Joining us to talk about Moses and the famous plagues, beginning in Exodus chapter 5, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
This does not fit with the picture of the kinder and gentler God that we come to know nowadays in pop American Christianity. What in the world is going on? God actually hurts people. He actually kills a lot of people by the time these 10 plagues are over with.
Well, that's really true. This is a very, it's a long story, 5 chapters in the book of Exodus, and it's a very harsh story of God's taking action. But his purpose in doing all of this was to save his people, ultimately to save us. And he did what he had to do to protect his people and to bring about salvation. In the face of a Pharaoh, a leader of the kingdom, the country of Egypt, who would have nothing to do with the one true God, who continually hardened his heart to God's word, to God's will, to God's actions. And we see that very clearly as the story unfolds for us in these 5 chapters of Exodus. God did these things. They were really the law to face Pharaoh with who God is, to bring him and the people of Egypt to their knees so that they would look to the one true God instead of the many false gods that the Egyptians paid allegiance to and honored. It didn't work, but God gave them every opportunity to turn in faith, to turn in repentance, and to trust in the one true God. And through it all, God's intent was to have his people, the children of Israel, his chosen people, to be released from their bondage and their servitude in Egypt so that he could lead them to the place that he had promised for them and lead them under Moses as their guide. And so this is part of this ongoing story of salvation. It's a continuation, and it has connections to your salvation and mine, and to the children we teach in Sunday school this week.
Was it also it sounds so pale to say a message, but was it also a word of God to his own people, even in their slavery and thereafter when he had delivered them these plagues?
Well, absolutely, because as we know, the Israelites were quick to complain, quick to forget God's grace, his providence, his mercy in their lives, and very quick to point out where life was hard, where they thought life was unfair. And they were grumbling and complaining under the captivity that they were in, under the servitude that they had to live and the harsh conditions. And they had forgotten who God was for them and what he had promised them. And so in this, for everyone who experienced it or witnessed it, was anywhere near it, it is a call to take notice of the one true God and his power and his will and his might. And it should have dropped everyone to their knees, in trust, in fear, in awe of God, including his own people who had, in many cases, become despondent, lost faith, questioned God and his will, and all of those things. And that's a pattern. As we go further this fall into the stories of Moses and the children of Israel, we'll see that pattern repeated over and over again. God protects them, takes care of them, rescues them, and then they fall into complaining and fussing at God because they don't remember his goodwill for them, and they complain.
Was it also saying something to Moses, God's chosen servant?
Well, certainly. You know, Moses was the reluctant servant, and God finally gave in last week in our lesson and said, you know, well, Aaron will help you. He'll hold you up. But it was also confirming for Moses, you know, I said that I would help you, I would, you know, make you my leader, and I would go with you, and I would make good on this promise. And in each of these plagues, God empowers Moses and the actions that he commands him to do to cause these superhuman things to happen, these extraordinary things to happen that nobody, including Moses, could look and experience them without saying, this is from the divine, this is from the true God who has power over all creation. And it's a wake-up call for Moses. It's a strengthening for him that God is indeed going to do what he promised and go with them and lead them, protect them, and provide for them ultimately their salvation and give them that promised land, not just here, but in eternity.
So when later we hear God reminding his people over and over again, and this is even generations later, God will say things such as, you saw what I did for you, how I brought you out of Egypt with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand. He's talking about, in part at least, these things, isn't he?
Absolutely. And we see that throughout the Old Testament as God deals with his people, and we hear it in the words of the prophets as they preach repentance and call people to faith. We even hear the disciples of St. Paul as they recount what God did for our salvation, reminding the Jewish people in particular, because this was for them, the chosen race, these actions happened for them to free them from Egypt. And it's all part of that grand story of salvation, and it's why we teach it today in Sunday school, for we are the children of God as well. And in our lives, we get discouraged. We doubt God by the things we see, and we need to be called to faith and reminded of these great deeds, all foreshadows of the great deed when God sent his Son to live among us and to suffer and die for us on the cross. And there's a real connection between Christ on the cross and his 3 days in the tomb and these plagues and what his death and resurrection accomplished for us and for all people, over against what these plagues accomplished for the Israelites and freeing them from the captivity of the Egyptians.
The twist, I guess, is that when God brings plagues, these ultimate plagues fulfilled in Christ, it is not against Pharaoh, it's not against any earthly power, it's not even against the enemies of God, it's against his own Son on the cross.
That's right. He makes Christ to receive what we deserve in our faithlessness, in our lack of trust, in our going against God and his will. And he puts the chastisement of us all upon his Son. And in his death and suffering on that cross, we are freed from what we deserve. death, eternal death, and separation from God. And he really, in this act, he sets Christ, his own son, between us and these foes of ours, these foes of sin and death. Christ came to be the ransom that separates us from sin and death. His blood shed, not the blood in the river, but his blood shed for us gives us redemption, forgiveness, and it frees us, liberates us from our sin. And it's this very real separation from sin and death that Jesus worked for us. And, you know, teachers, if you want to go a little deeper with that, take a look at Psalm 103, verses 10 and 12. That's just another insight into that. But since Jesus has separated us from our sin, God does not deal with us according to our sins. He's removed our transgressions from us. Jesus becomes for us the ransom and the redemption between us and our foes of sin and death. And echoing what Luther wrote and what we confess in the Small Catechism, Jesus has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and the power of the devil, with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. His blood shed for us gives us our exodus, our liberation from sin and death that entrap and enslave us in this life.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with her talking about Moses and the plagues in Exodus chapter 5 through chapter 10. After our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen concludes on this Monday afternoon, October the 24th, well, it's the beginning of Issues Etc., Reformation Week. Today we'll talk about confessional Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will be our guest in Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about Moses and the plagues in Exodus chapter 5 through 10. There is a rather startling statement after, I think, the sixth plague, where it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, this is a difficult subject to deal with, Pam, but how do we couple this notion that what God is doing here is meting out judgment against his enemies and his people's enemies, and the fact that after, well, now this would be the sixth opportunity that Moses has heard this judgment is coming, he no longer hardens his own heart. God starts doing it for him.
Well, that's right. In all of these, you know, up till that time, every with each plague, it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And God's really ultimately trying to break that hardened heart. In all of these plagues, these really are actions to out of love, though hard to see it that way, to break his heart and to get him to look to God, to the true God, to confess, to repent, to turn in faith to the true God instead of trusting in himself and the false gods of Egypt. And what happens at that plague where the text switches and it says that God hardened his heart, and it is merely God giving in to what Pharaoh has made so clear: I will be hard to you, God. I will not believe. I will not look to you. Pharaoh has hardened his heart, and God finally says, all right then, you know, it's done. You've made it clear, and he gives in to him. So it isn't so much God making his hard heart, it's him confirming what Pharaoh has determined will be his posture towards the one true God. And it really is, you know, it's something that should make us sit up and take note, and how, not easily, but how seriously God takes these things, and how we need to be careful and to be fed his word, to be receiving the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper, because there are so many things that would pull us away from God, and it would seek to help us harden ourselves against him, not the least of which is the sin in us and the sin all around us, sin, death, and the devil, that every day want nothing more than for you and I to harden our hearts to God and to look another way and never look back. And it's really quite something that this comes out in the story. But it isn't God being mean. It's God finally giving in, giving up with this one who has made it so clear that he wants nothing to do with the salvation of the one true God.
One of the things that is also being done here through these plagues is, well, and in the case of the story of the plagues, it is, in the end, a physical separation that God makes between the Egyptians and his people. He starts doing it as the plagues become more severe, until finally he has literally separated Israel from Egypt in the Exodus. Talk about that, if you would, this separation between God's people and the rest of the world through his judgment.
Well, that's right. At that point in the plagues, and I think it's with the fourth plague, he sets them apart, and it is all about God carrying out his salvation for the world through this line, through people in time and place, through his chosen people, to bring about ultimately Christ Jesus, born of a virgin, a Jewish maiden, conceived by the Holy Spirit, who would be God incarnate, God among us, in flesh and blood, to live among us, to suffer and die for us. Our God sets his own beloved Son to be for us on the cross. And in that, you know, he has to separate his people and this line from the Egyptians and from all the others, because he is, through it, bringing our salvation. And it's an interesting thing that he does, and it's part of him giving them the promised land and part of the commanding, do not mix with other peoples and other lands. All the way through Scripture, we see this God guiding and pulling out, pulling his people away so that through them could come the salvation of the world. And it's really one big story. We read it in these little snippets in Sunday school, or we hear it in the Old Testament reading in church, but it's good to step back from it and look at this as the whole story of our salvation, of God working it out in time, in place, through real people, through his chosen people, to bring his son to this earth to become one of us, to suffer and die for us.
One last quick thought, and then I got another question for you before we close up. The end of Scripture depicts the end of the world in terms similar to this Exodus, these Exodus plagues. And yet the goal there also is the salvation of Christ's body, his church. Talk about that with about a minute.
Well, that's right. There's so many places in Scripture, and certainly there at the end, of hearkening back, a recalling what God did, a repeating of that, connecting all those dots from then till now, forever. And we see in all of these plagues, you know, God was speaking to his people of old. We say this in church, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. In all of it, God's language is truly the same. He's speaking deliverance for his people through miraculous signs. You know, when Aaron casts his staff and causes the plagues of Egypt, so Christ punishes our disease bearer. And those pestilences that harden our hearts. As the rivers of Egypt run red with supernatural blood back in the Nile, so the outpouring of Christ's blood shatters our inward gazing and causes us to look to our God. For 3 hours, Christ suffers utter darkness on Calvary, and God introduces himself to the world as the Savior. All of this in the Old Testament, in the New, at the end of Scripture, all of it is to fix our eyes on Christ, on his cross, and his resurrection, so that, you know, even in this retelling of these plagues, the story of Christ's plague-ridden crucifixion, God is shattering the walls of our hardened hearts. He's liberating us for all eternity to be his children, to be with him in paradise when Christ shall come again.
Pam, is there, with only about a minute here, is there a connection between the theme that you work with now, Witness, Mercy, and Life Together, and this week's lesson? About a minute.
Well, absolutely. I give you a general story this week. We talked about the 1001 orphans a couple weeks ago, and if you haven't looked at that on the Synod webpage, it's a great project to support. And all over Africa, we are, as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, witnessing our faith and carrying out that witness through deeds of mercy, through caring for the poor, the needy, the hungry, caring for orphans, caring for refugees, caring for victims of AIDS, malaria. There's all kinds of work being done on the continent of Africa. One of the things that is really important to us is theological training. As the world south of the equator, particularly in places like Africa, people are coming to faith, thousands upon thousands. The church can't keep up with putting pastors and congregations to minister to the thousands that want to hear the true message of salvation. And so one of the big agendas for us is to train African men to be pastors and to go into that whole continent and to preach the word to their people and to plant congregations. So we've got that going on, caring for the orphans, the victims of malaria, those that are refugees from places like Sudan, war-torn countries, those who live in the slums in the heart of Kenya. Much work going on there, and I invite you simply to go to lcms.org and look under our tabs of mission and mercy and the places where we work, and look under the tab that talks about Africa.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week, Todd.
Next week, we'll talk with Pam about the Passover. We base our conversation with Pam on the great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or give Concordia Publishing House a call and ask them about it. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. It's called Growing in Christ. When we come back, Issues Etc. Reformation Week kicks off in hour two on this Monday afternoon, October the 24th. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois will be our guest. We're going to start Reformation Week talking about confessional Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism. That's coming up in 7 minutes.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.